And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said to him, This day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost.
Tonight's lesson is taken here from this section of Scripture we just read in Luke. And it's one of the occasions that Jesus interacts with some of the people that he meets. On this occasion, of course, he's with the crowds that are there, and he's making his way toward Jerusalem. He's passing through Jericho, one of the places that is nearby. And as he does so, he has this encounter with Zacchaeus. This man, of course, is one who is despised by the people of that day there, the Jews who lived in the land of Palestine. You know, none of us, I would imagine, have or know anyone who has just a great deal of fondness for the IRS, or just thinks with glee when they think about how much is withheld from their paycheck every time, you know, they get it. We don't really think in that way, and sometimes, you know, there's negative thoughts associated with all of that, but things could be worse, because in the first century, the Roman government employed the use of these publicans or tax collectors who would go about gathering the various kinds of taxes that were brought in from the population. The Roman government did not restrict the sums that were collected by the publicans, and so because of that, there was a whole lot of corruption that was going on in the collection process. The Roman rulers and the wealthy elite considered the publicans, the tax collectors, as the flower of knighthood, the ornament of the state, and the strength of the republic. So here, that's the perspective of the Romans and the wealthy elite in that society, because these men are the ones who brought it all in for us. In fact, Cicero, a Roman statesman, an orator, an author, he even called them the most upright and respected men. But the tax collectors, you know, in the process of gathering what they did, became wealthy because obviously they took more than they were supposed to. And the chief tax collectors, even more so. And so because of this, such men in the land of Palestine where the Jews were living, especially those who were Jews themselves, who were publicans, were especially despised and hated by their fellow Jews. In fact, a publican was not allowed to give testimony in a Jewish court. A synagogue would not accept a gift from a publican. And a publican was often regarded the same as a murderer. So they were very much despised by the people. In the scriptures, we often read of the publicans and the sinners that Jesus would associate with. And of course, the tax collectors, the publicans, were themselves sinners because of the fact that they engaged in dishonest conduct before God and man. But here on this occasion, it was to this kind of a person that Jesus reached out to this kind of a person Jesus gave hope to. Not only was he a tax collector, but he was a chief tax collector. And so he was especially despised by the people. Tonight, as we talk about this encounter that Jesus has with Zacchaeus, we'll look at several things that we see here unfolding in this narrative about Jesus' encounter with this chief tax collector. So He goes on his way to Jerusalem, passes through Jericho. Here is Zacchaeus. We're told in verse 2 he's a chief tax collector and he's very wealthy. That's expected to be the case, as we said. He wanted to see Jesus because he's a short man, though he can't. So he runs ahead to a point where he can climb up into the sycamore tree, and so from this level he can look down and he can see Jesus. He wants to know who he is. Perhaps he's already heard some things about him. But as we then see for beginning in verse 5, we notice this. It says, when Jesus came to the place, that is where Zacchaeus had climbed up into that tree, he looked up and saw him and said to him, "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house." In these remaining verses, verses 5 through 10, we're going to look at points with each verse relating to what we see in the text here. And in verse 5, we see a request that is made. Jesus calls Zacchaeus. He asks him to come down from here. In fact, he tells him, "Make haste, come quickly," is the request that Jesus makes to Zacchaeus. Jesus is not simply interested in going to this man's house and staying there for a while. Jesus obviously has as his intent and his focus this man's soul. Jesus is looking at a person who is lost, and he sees the potential for salvation, depending upon how this sinner responds to what Jesus says. So Jesus is thinking about souls. He's thinking about rescuing. He's thinking about the potential loss of a soul. Urgent matters require rapid response. Jesus says to him, "Zacchaeus, make haste, come down, for today I must stay at your house." The Lord shows a sincere interest in the life of a person who is a sinner, a person that society hates. They don't want to have anything to do with this kind of person. They despise this kind of person. The Jews aren't interested in saving this kind of person. They would like this person to get what they deserve, because they look at them as extortioners. They look at them as thieves taking from the people. But Jesus, as he speaks with Zacchaeus, we also see that he speaks with authority. Jesus tells him, "Today I must stay at your house." Jesus is going to go to Zacchaeus' house. He doesn't actually ask him if I might be able to go to your place for a while, but he just simply tells him, "Today I must stay at your house." So the Lord speaks with authority. You know, it may have been the case that Zacchaeus had heard that Jesus associated with tax collectors like he was, and sinners, because Jesus had already done this. Back in Luke chapter 15, it speaks of that. But Zacchaeus, here as he's spoken to by Jesus, is going to have a response, which we'll see in the next verse. But Jesus is interested. Think about it for a moment. He's going to a man's house, but he's most of all interested in this man's heart. When you read about the mindset that Jesus has toward the lost, that's very understandable. And on one occasion, it's recorded in John chapter 14 and verse 23, where Jesus says, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come and make our home with him." Jesus is interested in getting people to love him, to see that he's interested in them, to love them, and he wants their response to be, "I love the Lord because he's interested in me, because he loves me." Because when people love the Lord, and when they conform their lives to his will, Jesus says that he and his Father will come and will make our home with him. So Jesus is interested in more than going to Zacchaeus' house. He wanted to make a home in his heart. That's what he's trying to accomplish here. So Jesus says, "Today I must stay at your house." He's going to reach this man. And in verse 6, then, we see the response. The response is, Zacchaeus does what? So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. So Zacchaeus obeys the words of Jesus rapidly. He hears this. He immediately responds to what Jesus says. He does, in fact, make haste. He quickly comes down out of that tree to come before Jesus. And he not only obeys Jesus rapidly, he obeys Jesus with rejoicing. It says he received him joyfully. He is glad to accept what Jesus has spoken, to have him come be with him, take him to his house. Maybe Zacchaeus lived right there in that vicinity where Jesus was passing by. But regardless, he is glad to have him into his home, and that's what he intends to do. So here is a man who is a sinner. Here is a man who has clearly done wrong before God because he's violated God's will. As we'll see in the context here, Zacchaeus acknowledges that. He knows he is guilty. But he's a man who is glad to receive the Lord. Sometimes people who live in sin don't feel worthy. They know and they realize what they have done, and they know what's wrong with their lives. And so even to actually enter into a church building is something they would not feel comfortable doing because of what they perceive themselves to be. But it may be that if we, following in the footsteps of the Lord, would sincerely show an interest in those who are sinners. They're deeply involved in things that are wrong. They know it. We know it. But we don't despise them. We don't reject them. Instead, we reach out to them and we say, come learn about the Lord. That it may be that we also would receive this kind of joyful response, a joyful acceptance to an invitation that we might make to come worship with me, or let's study the Bible together, or let's come to understand what the Lord can do with your life. So Zacchaeus has a response that teaches us something about how that sinners will at times, if the heart is right, gladly turn their lives toward the Lord. Now, as we see the response of Zacchaeus, there's a big contrast between that and the response of the crowd in the next verse, in verse 6. So here we see what we call the reaction. The crowd complains. Jesus is trying to reach out to a sinner. The sinner joyfully receives the Lord. But when they, the crowd, verse 7, saw it, they all complained, saying, he has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. So their thought is, why would he associate with such a person? They're not thinking in terms of trying to get this man to be right with God and change his life. There are people all around us that we live next to, that we may work with, people that we are related to, that are in sin and that are lost. We cannot have this reaction. We cannot have the mindset of the crowd. This is the very same kind of thing that Jesus dealt with in Luke chapter 15, when before the scribes and the Pharisees, he did this very thing. And we see their response. It says at verse 1 in chapter 15 of Luke, then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to him to hear him. They were interested in listening to Jesus. The tax collectors, the sinners. And the Pharisees and the scribes complained, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. So this was the mindset of the religious leaders, and it's not surprising that this was the mindset of the people as well. The crowds that were here. We cannot have this attitude. Jesus, by associating with sinners, he was not condoning their sin. He was in no way endorsing what they were doing. but on the contrary, he was trying to establish a connection with them so that he could put the word that could change their lives into their hearts, so that they might resolve to do differently than they had been doing. And so the crowd's reaction is something to learn from. We need to do like Jesus. We need to connect with sinners with their salvation as our aim, just exactly like Jesus did. We don't associate with sinners to engage in their sin along with them. To the contrary, we would not participate in such things, but rather we would try to reach out to them, as Jesus did again and again, so that souls might have the opportunity to be saved. But then, look at verse 8. Here we see resolve. Because Zacchaeus expresses to the Lord his resolve to do what is right. He says, Zacchaeus stands and says to the Lord, and it may be that this happens. Zacchaeus says this, maybe he hears what the people are saying. Maybe he hears this attitude. And he wants to express to the Lord that he has no intention of continuing in what he has done. Because he says, it says, Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor. And if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold." So his resolve is expressed in two expressions, in two things that he states that he will do. He first says, "I give." I give half of my goods to the poor. So Zacchaeus, as one who is wealthy, says, "I intend to care for the poor." That was one of the things that the law of Moses taught people to do. Care for those among you that are suffering. Care for people in need. Reach out to them. Do so with an open hand. The idea is do it gladly, not because you're forced to do so and you have to, but do so because you want to, gladly help those who are in need. And Zacchaeus, now as one who has wealth, recognizes that with wealth comes responsibility, and he says, "Lord, I gladly open my hands to those who are poor, and I will give alms to help those who are in need. And," he says, "if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation," it seems to be an acknowledgement of the fact that he is guilty. What does he say that he's going to do? "I restore." I restore. He's going to give back. This goes back to what the law of Moses taught in Exodus chapter 22, verses 1 and following. There were various requirements of the law of Moses, that if you did this, then here's how you make restitution when you have done wrong. And at times, when a thief would steal, there was this thing where God required you to give back, and you gave back above what you had taken. This is what the law of Moses prescribed. And here is a man who resolves to do as Moses required of him. He was going to keep the law of God, recognizing his past sin. So these are the expressions of resolve that come from a penitent heart. It's an example to us of the fact that certainly we need to possess this heart, but there are also, it reminds us of the fact that this world and the sinners that are in this world can be reached with the saving message of the gospel. There are many people who know where they stand. As we've said, most of the people that live in our community are people who know who Jesus Christ is. They're familiar with the Bible. But many of them have long since left moral living and upright living behind. Many people, don't go anywhere to services. And there are people who they're far from spiritual. And we might be able to help them realize that it's time now to think about where you stand before God. And there are those, as this example shows us, who will desire to change their lives, turn things around, and begin doing what God requires of them, as Zacchaeus here resolves to do. And then we see verse 9, the result. The result. Jesus said to him, "Today Salvation has come to this house because he also is a son of Abraham. So Jesus speaks these words not just to Zacchaeus, but really he's speaking to these people who say, look at this man who is associating with sinners. He's going to be a guest of a man who's a sinner. But Jesus shows him, look, because of what I've done, salvation has come to this house. You reach out, you show that you care, and this man here responds. Jesus, at this point in time, hadn't even charged him with any sin, hadn't even spoken to him about, Zacchaeus, look, you need to. But the name of Jesus and what Jesus was all about and the teachings of Jesus and the miracles of Jesus, we know from the beginning of his ministry, had spread far and wide. He was widely known as a godly man, a prophet. Maybe he's John the Baptist. Who do men say that I am? So there was all these ideas, but they knew he was a good and righteous and holy man of God. How else could he do these miracles? So when these people start saying, this man is a sinner, why? Zacchaeus just comes forth with what he knows he needs to acknowledge. He's come before a man who is a righteous, holy man, and this man has said to him, I'm going to your house today. And Zacchaeus, the result, as we see, is that salvation today, Jesus says, has come to this house. How did it come today? Because today there was reform in that man's heart, a resolve to change his way. That's the nature of God's Word. It can prick hearts, it can transform lives, it can result in salvation quickly coming to a life that was lost and far removed from God. That's the nature of the parable. That's why Jesus, back in Luke chapter 15, when the scribes and Pharisees said, look at this man eating with sinners, Jesus told those parables, one after the other. The parable of the lost coin, the lost sheep, the lost son, because God cares about the lost, as Jesus does here. And God is filled with rejoicing and gladness when lost souls are brought back to Him. And here, one who was of the house of Israel being brought back into the fold again. And so, here is a man who was a son of Abraham according to the flesh. Zacchaeus was a Jew. But more than that, he was a son of Abraham because of his faith spiritually. He was a man who understood God's laws must be kept. I have not been keeping them. I will change my ways. And so salvation comes when lives are transformed, when faith, the seed of faith, sprouts and grows as it did here in this man's heart. And of course, what was the reason all of this happened? The final verse, verse 10. The reason is seen because the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Salvation came to this house. That was the result, verse 9. And the reason salvation came was because Jesus' mission was to come into this world and search out and to find the lost and to save them. And that's the mission He has taken and passed on to us, the Great Commission. Go into all the world, proclaim the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned. Jesus said, Mark 16, here we have the wonderful blessing of salvation that came, and it's because Jesus was fulfilling His Father's will. There are households all around us that are in need of salvation. Some of them will receive Christ and His church into their lives joyfully, just as Zacchaeus did. But in order for that to happen, we've got to have the mind of Christ toward sinners and the resolve to go and seek them out as Christ did as well. And when we do that, though we know not everyone responds favorably to our efforts, we do know that God's word does not return to him void. And in the parable of the sower, the seed does fall upon good ground. And when it does, the result brings joy not only to that life, but to heaven as well, and to our hearts when we see souls putting the Lord on in baptism and beginning a journey that will lead them to heaven. As we go into all our community this week, let's remember our goal of seeking and saving the lost. We can have a part, individually, personally, in bringing salvation to households and giving hope to the hopeless. Tonight you may not be a child of God. If that's the case, then sin in your life remains until you make a decision to turn to the Lord in faith, believing that Jesus Christ is God's Son, and based upon that belief, obeying Him. Obeying His command to turn away from sin, to acknowledge your faith in Him, and to be baptized so that your sins can be washed away. Or, tonight you may be a child of God, wandered from the fold, that needs to come back to the Lord, change your life for the better, to begin anew, to resolve to be faithful, to be zealous, to show your Lord your love for Him by your keeping of His commands, by your dedication to His will. If you need to come home to your Lord this night, we encourage you to do that as we stand and sing.